Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences as well as talk about all things EVs and technology. We have Chase here. We have Will. Will, Happy New Year. I don't think you've been on
Happy New Year.
Since
no.
The New Year happened, so Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's been a thing.
Yeah, busy. You are safe. Everyone's safe. No one's affected by these fires, thank God.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
There's some new fires happening right now that are affecting some people. And, you know, we covered that in the first podcast of the year with all these fires raging and you know, displacing people, which is very unfortunate. But, you know, thankfully for us, we're safe. And hopefully if there's anybody out there watching, hopefully you're safe as well. And, you know, hopefully they're able to take control of all this because it's been crazy. So.
Yeah, I saw the one today. I feel for you guys because I'm like, you guys just got through the big ones and then another big one.
It doesn't stop. Luckily, we're getting some rain. We're supposed to be, you know, that's all. You know. We're supposed to be getting some rain this weekend. So
this
hopefully
weekend,
that helps.
Yeah, but I mean, I got a wind advisor going right now. You could probably hear it. The new room that I'm in faces the north. And we get the wind right out of the Elkhorn Pass. But the good news, it's like in our area, I don't know if it's the same with or around you, Eric, but it's like, we're accustomed to the high winds. Most of the debris is clear for most of the area that I live in. So really, it's just the mountain. If it goes up, then the embers would be a concern blowing south. But otherwise, I mean, but they are quick. I think 3 or 4 years ago, I have video of a fire started. And I think within 20, 30 minutes, we had footage of planes dumping the FosTech stuff. And it was just like 3 blocks away. So, wow. Like, yeah, it was crazy because, like, there was on the drop path was a McDonald's just basically like a mile north of me. And I went to visit it like a day or two later. It was absolutely covered in red everywhere. It looks like somebody had just dumped paint out of the side of like an airplane or something, which is what they did. But
yeah,
you got red on you.
Yeah. But yeah, thankfully, I mean, I unfortunately, though, I don't think that I've been on to talk about it. But it's like, yeah, I actually know. Oh, God, I mean, it's above a dozen people.
Wow.
At least that have lost their homes. A number of people who are very close to me in my profession as a Steadicam operator are affected. Like, you know, this is something that I think we're all, you know, you hear about fires and you hear about damage, you hear about a neighborhood and all that stuff, and you get some glimpse of the disaster of what it is. But you know, I think that it's in the year afterwards you really start to realize. And I think that they're right. I think this will probably be like one of the most costliest natural disasters in history.
It's wild. It
for
is
now.
Wild. You know, seeing drone and aerial footage of, you know, especially, you know, Altadena, Pacific Palisades. I mean, it's just like, it is hard to even watch just to see just everything just leveled. And, you know, just thinking about everyone that has lost everything, essentially, you know, that just,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I got friends who post their security cam footage of like, this is the last thing that we saw broadcast from our house. And it's the two of their cars in the driveway just burning up. And like, this is the last image that gets broadcast. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. What a way to, you know, see your home go into flames like that.
And it's in my industry, which is already on its knees right now as far as productivity and employability. So, I mean, this is going to decimate, you know, a lot of people.
Well, we have some people watching live right now. So thank you guys, everybody that's tuning in, specifically in chat. We have Ryan, Hugo, and Jay saying hello. So hello, guys. Appreciate you guys coming in and stopping by. So tonight, I should say, We have a really cool episode as we have some guests joining us, and we're going to bring them in right now. I'm sure if you guys follow us often and watch a lot of our podcasts, you will know Brian. Brian was on a few weeks ago talking about a scary situation that he had with his inverter and his motor being disabled, and kind of giving us some good information on how to help in a situation like that if you were ever in that. Hopefully you never are, but it seems like every Cybertruck is
right
having that.
That was right before I went into the blizzard, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because I was on the road. That's right.
Yep. And then we also have Jerry. So Jerry's going to be joining us as well. So Brian's going to be talking about, as you guys may know, as a matter of fact, let me bring them on. So we have Brian and Jerry here. So Brian is the organizer of what's called Cyber Odyssey. Cyber Odyssey is, actually, as a matter of fact, Brian, why don't you tell us what Cyber Odyssey is? How about that?
You bet. You got it. So hey, everybody. Good evening. So Cyber Odyssey. So Cyber Odyssey is really an event where Cybertruck owners, enthusiasts can get together, folks who have experience driving vehicles off-road, people not having any experience, to actually take these vehicles out to remote areas, see what it's like to drive these vehicles in those environments, actually play with the settings of the vehicle, work with each other to see what works best in those conditions. There's sometimes it's maybe like we did the first one, which was a dry lake bed. Settings would be obviously different there than they would be, say, for in the sand at Glamis. And so it's a great opportunity for people to actually play with the truck, see what it can do, and be with people who are like-minded with these trucks and be able to help each other out in the event that we have an issue with the truck. So it's always good to go out with a group, no matter what you're doing off-road with other people. But this is an opportunity to go to some most scenic, iconic places in the Southwest. We've done some really cool locations, and we welcome all Cybertrucks to come. As a matter of fact, you know, every so often you may see a Rivian join the group. So I think we're going to have a few Rivians actually join us out there. And Jerry may have mentioned that we may see a Hummer show up. So, you know, it's not just exclusive to Cybertrucks. It's called the Cyber Odyssey, but we welcome other folk to come join and see what it's like. But that's what Cyber Odyssey is about. It's about getting together and going to some really cool, iconic places, doing some off-roading. We've also been involved in charity events, food drives, toy drives, obviously not off-road, but we've gone to events to do that and promote Cyber Odyssey and also help out in the community.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? It's a community. It's a community of people that want to get together, have a good time, and possibly do things that maybe they haven't done before. So I'll kind of give a little story real quick that the Electrify Expo was in June, and I had my Cybertruck showcase there, and I met Ian, who was a Rivian or is a Rivian R1T, and his truck was all tricked out off-road, right? Had everything that you can imagine. And they parked my Cybertruck next to his, and in conversation, we became friends, and I wasn't an experienced off-roader going into buying a Cybertruck. I have a lot of experience with trucks, hauling and towing and things of that nature, but not off-roading. But that's something I've always wanted to do, never really done. And so we got to talking, and he's very experienced in that. And in that conversation, he was very adamant that if you're going to go off-roading, don't go by yourself. Don't go by yourself and try to take somebody that's experienced, you know. At least in the beginning. Once you are the experienced guy, then you can go out, you know, and have a little bit more fun and not feel so, have as much anxiety. And so when you started the Cyber Odyssey, that was like really like, it hit me, you know, in a way, because I was like, this is exactly what I think people need. Because now there's a group of people to, now if there is any type of, you know, problem, we're able to help each other. You're not there by yourself, not knowing what to do. I mean, I think there was even when we went to the first Odyssey, somebody needed to be pulled out, right? And you had the proper gear to pull them out. You actually did it yourself. But there was a group of us there, and we were able to kind of all help each other. And I know that gentleman was very grateful and felt great about the situation, even though it was a bad situation, just because there was a support system there. And I think that's very important for people. So I think that's great. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Glamis trip some. But introducing Jerry. So Jerry's going to talk to us, like I said, about all of the, you know, challenges that Glamis might bring, as well as some of the fun, you know, that Glamis is going to bring. So why don't you tell us, Brian, about the specifics of Glamis, Cyber Odyssey? When is it? What's the plan? What do we have in store? And how can people connect with you to potentially join in on the fun.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, as Eric just said, we're planning our next Cyber Odyssey to be held out at the Glamis Sand Dunes in Southern California. Now, this is a unique opportunity because the sand dunes, as you'll hear from Jerry later, explain what it's like to drive these vehicles in the sand. It'll pretty much blow your mind what he has to say about it. It's going to be very exciting. It's extremely remote location and compared to the other Odysseys that we've done. And I'll talk a little bit about that here in a second when it comes to charging and kind of how to prepare for that. The event's going to be held. It's a multi-day event, and it's not necessarily a requirement for everyone to be there every single day. But we will be out there on Friday the 14th till Monday the 17th of February. That's President's Day weekend. And the two main days really you really want to be there for is Saturday and Sunday. And if you can't make it but one day, Saturday is probably a great day. We will have it'll start essentially with kind of a safety overview of what it's like to drive your vehicle out there, how to set the vehicle up right, maybe following some folks who have been through these dunes before around. And then and once you get the hang of it, you can you know, kind of just tool around and do your thing. It's going to be really fun. Like I mentioned earlier on, there'll be probably more than just Cybertrucks there in our group, which will be fine. And it'll be a good time. Now, when it comes to charging, there's some concerns about range. When you get out there, generally you're going to have to air down your tires, which leads to have a good plan to be able to air your tires down. We have people that can help, but if you look online what it's like to do that if you haven't done it before, there's all kinds of tools on Amazon you can use to quickly air down your tires and have a compressor. Again, we'll have compressors there, but I mean, there's going to be a lot, it could be a potential for a lot of truck there. And so if you can have gear for yourself, that's great. But I have gear, so there's that. But no, it can get time consuming really quick if that's the case. So just keep that in mind. The closest supercharger is 37 miles away in El Centro, California. That's a bit of a haul. From what I'm hearing, that's about an hour drive away because it's not just on the freeway. It's just regular roads. So you're getting down to El Centro. That's an hour. That's eating up your time right there. Then you got to sit and charge, give that probably say an hour, and then you got that hour back. So now you've lost 3 hours of your time on the charge situation. That's a supercharger. Some people bring generators out there. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but it's an option. If you wanted to do that, that's something you can do. That's what people do at times. You don't get a lot out of that, but that's an option. Jerry will talk a little bit about that. And then there's the CCS option. Now, there's been discussions about CCS and Cybertrucks, and there's no recommendation.
Who specifically did that? Who had those discussions? I mean, who are those guys?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Just go back to podcast.
I don't know. Who's having all the fun?
Yeah, plug that.
That's very good information.
That's the last episode. You'll learn a lot. So I'm using a EV Jack and a Tesla OEM CCS adapter. I've tested it. It works fine. The third party adapters out there are hit or miss. So I, you know, just look into it carefully and have a kind of a game plan. Like I said, worst case scenario, you're looking at that El Centro supercharger, tried and true, worked. Just a little bit of time that you have to eat out of your day to do that. If you plan to come out, plan to have some food and provisions that you need. The restrooms will be about a 2-minute drive away from camping. Our camping area will be just off the pavement, so we're not going off in the middle of the dune somewhere far. The camp will be close to the pavement, so you just get on the pavement, head on down to the restrooms. It's close. So there's that piece. What else is there I want to talk about on this? There'll be a raffle on Saturday. We've had some sponsors come forward and provide some things, so you definitely probably want to be there for that. So that's an opportunity. And there's, again, there's no cost. Cyber Odysseys are no cost, no registrations, none of that. So it's just about getting together. And, you know, if we get lucky enough to get a sponsor or two to give an item or two out, then there's that piece. There'll be more information.
Unless you're going to spend the night.
What's that? Yeah. In general, you're going to want to get a pass, a Glamis pass. It's $35. It lasts a week. So if you're there one day or you're there for the whole time, $35 is going to cover you. If you don't have that pass, then you can find out the hard way and get a ticket. They go around and they police that regularly. One of the Cybertruck owners got $85 ticket last time for not having the pass. So they're available online. You just look up Glamis passes and you'll find out how to get those. So there's that piece of it. It's gonna be cold at night out there. So just, you know, if you're gonna stay in your truck or whatever, just make sure you have what you need to do that. And Yeah. Think of anything else, Jerry, if you want to add anything on that. There you go.
Well, let's so we have in chat, Ryan is asking, they missed the dates again. Can you just give the dates one more time?
Yeah, 14 to 17 February. That's President's Day weekend. So we're just less than a month away.
That's Valentine's Day weekend, Brian. You're going to get us all in trouble.
Well, you know, you guys can do your Friday night dates and then come out Saturday morning. There you go. And you get to go back on Monday if you want.
There
do something
you go.
Nice there for the
go.
Wife, right?
Yep, there you go. Let's get into kind of what the activities are going to look like with Jerry. I'm sure you're, you know, probably heading a lot of that given your experience. What can they expect if they were to join this Cyber Odyssey Glamis edition trip? What can they expect? What are we planning on doing out there? And then we can kind of get into some of the things that you recommend people bring with them.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. So Glamis, to me, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I have been going for a very, very long time since my kids were, you know, babies. And some of them are actually grown up and they go with their boyfriends and girlfriends and their couples now. But Glamis is it's off-roading. But it can be a very, very, very fun place, but it can also be dangerous. And I want to make sure I exercise caution when I say a couple of things. You know, I wouldn't call it like it's super dangerous, but you have to just be aware of your surroundings. There's certain laws, like speed, I don't think is one of them. But there is certain things that you have to have on the vehicle, like I think it's like a 6-foot whip at all times. If it's at night, it has to have some sort of light. In this case, a $1.99 glow stick will do. It's legal. Other than that, you can, just be careful in the dunes. And, you know, if you it's such an amazing ride. I was kind of leery about the truck. I thought he was either going to do really bad or really, really well. I was really, really surprised. I'm kind of so stoked that it does really well because everybody was saying, oh, it's too heavy. It'll just get stuck out there. And, you know, we had to go out there and, you know, push it to the limits. And I mean, I think a lot of people, if they do show up, they're going to be so surprised of, you know, all the things that the Cybertruck is actually capable of. And I'm still learning and I have tons and tons of experience. My background, I mean, I've been off-roading since before I was a teenager. I've grew up with Jeeps, building Jeeps. I've had Raptors over the years. I even had a Dodge TRX before I had this Cybertruck.
Nice.
And comparing these trucks, you know, without being biased, I really loved the Raptors. I loved the horsepower that the TRX had, but I feel like the Cybertruck's a little bit of both. I have all the power that the TRX has minus the gas because I really like that V6 EcoBoost, you know, it's not going to kill my wallet kind of thing going on, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the only downfall to the trucks being electric is, like Brian mentioned, is going to be the charging, which we're working on. We went to that El Centro. It wasn't a game killer, but it is 3 hours of your life just going out and, you know, spending out there, charging. We're trying to come up with a better solution. The CCS I think works very well and it cuts the time in half. But you know, we were just talking about this the other day. I mean, dude, I've had the truck almost a year next week. Mm-hmm. And it took me this long to realize that I can actually charge to a CCS. I just kind of just been like, oh, let's just go to the Tesla one. You know, I had to expand, you know, the options, because of the range. Other than that, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be very, very surprised. Like I said, I'm still learning. There's so many settings. I was trying to go up Oldsmobile Hill, which is one of the biggest hills out there. And I mean, I must have tried like 10 different settings and I'm still going to keep trying, you know, because it's trying to find that right combination is key because, as you know, these Cybertrucks, you could put 20% in the front wheels or 80% in the rear. I don't know what that perfect balance is. So I'm still kind of playing with that.
Now, yeah, I was going to ask about that. Like, yeah, what you guys are using.
Yeah, there's so many different settings. Real quick, though, I wanted to ask something. So the difference between sand off-roading and dirt trail off-roading, what would you, you know, can you talk about that a little bit?
That's actually a really good question. It's totally different. So if the sand is smooth, like where it is in the dunes, it's almost like surfing, you know, it's gliding. Mm. It's really, really, really delicate. It's just surfing from dune to dune, where in dirt, you still kind of have traction, you know, and I think I would consider the dunes more like skiing. You kind of have to, you know, move with the dune, if you will, you know. Okay. Sometimes if you want to go right, it doesn't matter how bad you want to go right, you have to probably make two lefts before you can go right. Just because of either a safety or just the dunes themselves, they will not allow you to make that right. It's probably 50 times easier to make a left and then make another left, and then you can cross over to another dune to make that right.
Interesting.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Where in the dirt, you always have tires to the ground, but in the sand, it's so soft that the traction, the speed is going to be your friend every time. Now, I know this goes out a lot. You know, when in doubt, throttle out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing out there. So if you feel you're drifting down, usually speed will get you out of a pinch.
So it kind of sounds – so I have a lot of experience with water sports, right? Jet skiing and boating. And so that's something that I explained to – I have a teenage son that, you know, teaching him how to ride a Sea-Doo or jet ski, I tell him, you have to ride with the waves. You can't –
very similar.
You don't want to be fighting them. You know, exactly. That's when you'll get thrown off.
Yep.
You know, so that's what it sounds like to me.
It's I think it's exactly like that. You know, you have to, and you have to visualize it, right? Like for example, you have to see the wave. It's kind of like the same thing as a dune. You have to see it coming, and you kind of have to, like, you know, you only got a couple seconds to think about it, and you have to commit. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, if you say you're going to make a left, you're going to have to make a left. You know, if you want to go over the dune, you know, on a blind side, like I said, you have to commit. But like I said, usually, you know, I always take dunes at a 45 degree. I never hit dead on because that's dangerous, right? Yeah. Because somebody could be doing that too. So I always go sideways. It's a lot easier transition. And I think we can maybe go out to some small dunes, and then people can experience a little, get a feel for it. And then maybe we could go out to the bigger dunes and try it out.
And that is exactly what makes the Cyber Odyssey special, right? Is the fact that you have someone like Jerry who's experienced that. He's going, this is the best way to do it. Let's do baby steps. Let's take you over here. Let you get used to it. Once you're used to it, now let's go step up to the big boys, you know? And what about airing down your tires? I know Brian mentioned that. What's your recommendations for that?
So it's a fine line between just the right amount of air. And in my case, I popped the bead off the tire. You know, I went too much.
Wow.
So there's that. So I stayed around 12 to 15 and I managed to keep my tires on. There was one day, remember I was telling you I was trying different settings? Well, one of those settings was I aired down under 10 PSI. And I did climb Oldsmobile Hill. And I don't think it was because I aired down a little bit more. I just think I just changed one of the settings and I was able to get more traction and I changed the way I drove. But I do not recommend to go under 10 PSI unless you have bead locks, because you will end up popping the tire off, which we've gotten really good at putting back on in the middle of. we just put some ratchet straps. I can share some videos later. And, you know, we put the compressors on and we just kind of like would jiggle a little bit and, you know, they'll pop it back on. We've gotten pretty good at it, but, you know.
That was actually one thought that I had. Like, was it Heavy D Sparks? How they tricked out theirs to go in the dunes, but they had the same issue where, like, the tires were just coming off. So
yeah. So it's a very fine line. Whether if you air down enough, you get traction, but you also run the possibility of popping the tire off the beat. Yeah. So
which tires do you have on yours?
I have BF Goodrich Baja Champions, but mines are HD terrains. So cool. They're like a more like a mud terrain. Adil, the other guy that's been out there with me, he also has a BF Goodrich, but he has a KO3s.
Oh, okay, cool. Those are solid too. Yeah, that's super sweet.
I'm trying to find a video of yours showing. Well, here you are right here. Let's show this.
We can generator.
This kind of get us into that conversation. Mm-hmm. So this is you out at Glamis, correct? You're out at Glamis, and you took a generator. You want to talk about the type of generator that you have? So that way, if there's anybody that's looking to, even if they don't come to Glamis, they want to go and do their own adventures, and they're thinking, what kind of generator do I need, and what is that going to do for me? You want to kind of go over that a little bit?
Yeah, so this was a generator that I have here at the house. I think it's a 9500 Predator from, you know, Harbor Freight or whatever. But it worked well for overnight. For the day to charge it, it's just like being at home, like plugging it in at the home charger. I think it was only giving me like 6 kilowatts or something per hour, which overnight was enough. I think it gave me like 90-something%. I'm probably going to take it. Yeah, that's it right there. So it still didn't get quite to 100, but I'm okay. I could live with 91% overnight, you know? And mm-hmm. I think I had like 30% when I started the night.
Or, okay.
You know, I think overnight, I think it gave me like a total of, I don't know, 50% overnight. So it saved me one trip. So if anybody does want to take a generator, I don't know about a a 110, because that's just way too slow. That's like, yeah, I don't know. It take days and days and days, right? But
yeah,
I think if you have anything over, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 watts, it might be worth to take it overnight. It'll give you some charge, you know. So I wish we had a bigger solution, but the problem is not getting a bigger generator. The problem is transferring the energy to the truck.
And when you're in the dunes using your electric vehicle, specifically in our cases, Cybertrucks, what does that do to our range? What does that do to the battery as far as
it kills it?
Does it?
It kills it. Yeah, I probably lost like 3% in that going up that hill. You know, the power is there, but it takes a lot of energy to move these beasts up and down these hills. Not saying you can't have fun. You can absolutely have fun. It's just, you know, it definitely, you could see the battery start to go down and down. And, you know, hopefully that's why I was thinking that, you know, this closer charger, that, you know, it would limit the more fun, because there's more fun driving around the dunes is a lot more fun than trying to go charge and sit there, you know, for an hour.
I guess it's a good question for people that are trying to plan ahead, like, because you were not really talking about miles in charge. I guess driving around like this, how many hours do you think that you got out of a?
Oh, that's a good question.
A good charge amount.
I'd say with the full. Well, I can tell you in the morning, I would have basically 90%, and we would drive around. We would go dune a little bit, and then. We would have to go charge towards that. I think we could drive around all day, but we had to go charge again at night to make sure that we had enough battery for the night, if that makes any sense. Because the thing about Glamis, during the day, you can go do dunes, you can do, you know, just drive around, look at other people, watch other people just jump the dunes, dirt bikes. I mean, everybody takes whatever they can. Oh yeah, I haven't got that far yet to jump in the Cybertruck, but I've been close.
Well, if you do know of any Rivians out there that happen to go airborne, definitely video it and let me know, because I'm also curious about that. But yeah, I would love to see some people do that out there. But also, I put an air of caution out there because it is kind of the wild, and everyone knows the Double Cap Crimpin story where he did exactly that and jumped what he thought was going to work in Sand Dune and ended up breaking his truck and $20,000 or more later.
Right.
So you definitely have to do it with something that is jumpable. I would always suggest, if you can see another truck that's similar in capability doing it, then it's probably safe to do that. That's where I started with them. That's where I found my jump, because I was I wonder where rappers go, and I found that.
So Jerry, just a little background on Chase. He's being humble over here. He's the professional jumper. Let me show you his video real quick.
So this is dirt. It's not sand.
Attaboy.
I'm definitely with you there. There's a difference.
So yeah, he took his Cybertruck out, and he was he kind of went viral for this video, because he got a pretty good jump out of it. So
yeah, this is all on clay. We did Baja mode with like 30% in the front and 70 in the back, and that was perfect. I didn't have to really play with it at all. This is actually a professional like motocross track, so there really wasn't anybody out there, so the guy was nice enough to like go take the water truck around and like put fresh water down, so everything was like nice and wet and great.
It felt good, right?
Oh yeah, it was stupid how easy it was, like, because I had all the guys with me. They rode along on each lap just to experience it themselves, and it's like you didn't even realize we were airborne. And we were like 5 feet off the ground. So
I'm very impressed that the airbags can handle that jump pretty good. I mean, it's you know, I am. I think I have a video of me jumping. It's just not as good as this one, but I got pretty good air too, which is similar to that.
I think it's worth trying, because it's definitely capable. And what gave me even more confidence is I was looking through the off-road manual for the Cybertruck, and it does have a little blurb that talks about if it becomes airborne, it will detect it and try to like brace for impact, really? or whatever. So they did plan for the truck to become airborne.
Well, we need to put that to the test. I'll add it to my list. Yeah. Well, that's the beauty about the sand, that it's soft. It's so forgiving. So jumping in the sand might even be softer for it.
Could be easier.
I would think. Exactly.
Yeah.
If we could find the right place to do it.
Going back to the one little bit about timing, because that you brought up a great point about being able to drive around all day and have to go hit the supercharger at night. I think that's probably a good plan to do, because it looks like there's at least an in and out near the supercharger. So like if you wanted to do like dinner, you know, drive around all day, go to the supercharger, grab dinner, come back, camp out. I think
there's like a Chipotle and they're at that supercharger. There's IHOP. There's quite a bit of places. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the hot dogs, the Home Depot.
Makes sense. Or even if people want to, like I said, come out just for the day on Saturday or just for the day on Sunday, that's probably what I would do, is like drive all the way out, get to El Centro in the morning as early as I possibly could, fill up at the supercharger, go out there, drive around, come back, and then you're good to go. So it's a perfect date night February 14th.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Or my birthday, too.
Well, there's a lot of fireworks. There's a lot of fireworks out in Glamis, too. That's at night. So, you know, there's certain times. That's one thing I didn't mention, Eric. Like, there's drag racing from 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. to right before it gets dark. I don't know. Like, depends what time the sun is going in. Like, maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock. So there's a good 2 to 3 hours of... And everybody who's anybody goes out there and drags. I mean, you see some, you know, Volkswagens, Razors, side-by-sides, some, you know, really expensive $300,000 sand rails, you know. Even the Choppers drag race. I don't know if you guys seen those videos. It's a thing. The Choppers go on, I guess they get tired of watching. I've seen them
on snow, but not on sand before. That's cool.
Well, yeah, the Choppers, no, like the helicopters, they'll go right above.
Oh, the helicopters. Like a motorcycle.
No, I'm sorry. Like,
maybe getting like paddles or something in the back.
No, I wish. No.
People come out with helicopters?
Helicopters, drag race. Yeah, you guys are in for a treat, man. I'm telling you. It's something totally different out there, man. It's like you only in Glamis. Yeah, but that's usually what people do between 2 p.m. to like 5:30. And usually everybody, you know, goes and has dinner after that. And then at night, a lot of people go to Oldsmobile Hill, which is one of the bigger dunes. And then there's a lot of activity going on over there too.
It's going to be a great time. Hopefully, without saying anything, hopefully Brian's able to work his magic and get some things worked out to make things a little bit easier for everyone. But it sounds like it's going to be an amazing Cyber Odyssey. And so once again, Brian, why don't you jump in and give all the details once again for anybody that's joining us late, and how can they reach out to you? How can they join in on the fun, and where can they find you, and give us some information?
Yeah, you got it. So again, it's the next Cyber Odyssey being held at the Glamis Sand Dunes in Southern California. It's going to be held on February 14th, 16th, 17th. So, well, basically, it's going to be the whole entire weekend of President's Day weekend. So it's holiday weekend, and the two big days are going to be Saturday and Sunday out of that weekend. That's the days, if you can't be out there the whole time, those are the good days to hit. There'll be raffles. There'll be all kinds of fun things to do, as you may have just heard. I've been posting this several places. The Cybertruck Forum online, I post there often about the Cyber Odysseys. So you can find it there on the forum board. I do a lot of on Instagram. It's OG_cyber_. And that's where I put a lot of the posts. I constantly put something up there as a reminder. And then you can DM me through that. Through Instagram is probably the best way. I monitor that regularly. And then I can send the PDF version of the info packet out to you. And I hope to have as many people out there as possible. And Eric kind of dropped a little bit on this. I am trying to work something out on charging. Maybe we can get some sort of remote charging station out there on a semi. I don't know. We'll see. You know, as far as what happens to align, it's a tough one to get, but we're trying. And, you know, we do have these other options out there with the superchargers and the CCSs that are nearby. So we hope to see some folks come out there, and it's a really good time. Come out, meet us. And if you don't, follow us online, and you'll see the next event come up.
Well, perfect, fellas. I appreciate you guys joining us and sharing your knowledge and information. And once again, Brian, thank you so much for putting together these Odysseys. I think it's amazing, and I know a lot of people enjoy them and have fun. If obviously you haven't been to one of them, I highly, highly encourage it. And like Brian said, you don't even need to have a Cybertruck. Even if you don't even have an EV, you know, if you want to just come out, hang out, have some fun, and see what EVs can do, you know, I know there's a lot of hate out there, but like Jerry said, these trucks can do things that a lot of people don't think they can. So,
yeah, I'll be honest. It's not really in my world of interests right now, doing a lot of off-roading. But hearing you guys talk about it, especially Jerry, I would totally 100% be like, it's cool. These guys sound like nerdy about this. I'm down. Let's do it.
Go right along.
Yeah. I mean, even for you, Will, to drive down and bring the Rivian, you don't need to, you know, take it into the sand, but bring the Rivian and some, you know,
jump
bring
it.
The kids and you know,
chasing me is like, jump it.
And just
asking for science.
Yeah.
No reason, just science.
Exactly. So once again, Brian, Jerry, I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your knowledge. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys around. We'll see you in February for sure.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Yep. Thank you. So that's
be living vicariously through your
head. That sounded so cool when Jerry was talking about it. I was like, holy crap, these guys really know what they're I'm like, just the curious part of me is like, I have a car. They do these things. If I was going to learn about doing it better than just me getting my truck busted down on some back road trying to off-road for the first time.
That sounds
amazing.
That's the thing for me. It's beyond, you know, for anybody that has any type of interest in it, you know, this is the perfect opportunity to go out there with a group of people that obviously are going to be understanding and accommodating to you. And then even for people that don't even have trucks, that have no desire to even go into the sand, or maybe you do have a truck, but you're like, I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to, this is not my thing. I'm just coming for the environment. I'm coming here for fun. I think it's just.
Yeah. But like, I've always been somebody who like, I like it when somebody has a culture of, we are doing this to teach you people how to do this. We're at the end of the day, we're going to make you ready to do it. Like I did my motorcycle safety class back in like 2021. That was the vibe I got from those guys. You know, they seemed rough, and they were all like, you know, we've been riding for 30 years, 40 years, something like that. But they were all like, we're here to make sure you're safe so that you don't become some statistic. Exactly. We're going to help you. And it's that kind of culture that I just love seeing, you know, when you just put it together and be like, hey, we're going to, you know, people have got these trucks and they're going to be like, I'm going to go off road and let me try this, you know. And they wind up, yeah, needing like tow hooks for somebody to drag their friggin' truck out of some ravine or something. Who knows?
Yeah,
it keeps the sport going that way. You know?
We have quite a bit of people in chat. Bill's in chat saying hello. Obviously, Hugo was in here, and Jay, Ryan, Gabriel, Chris, Accelerating Tech. If you don't follow his channel, go ahead and check him out. He does some really cool Tesla stuff. So, hey, guys, thank you guys for joining us. Ryan had a question. He says, do you guys enjoy or love this truck? I think most of us love the truck. I think there's some things about the truck that maybe we don't love so much. A lot of publicity about recalls and you know,
price,
motors and inverters, and then the price. You know, at the end of the day, we were promised a $50,000 truck or $60,000 truck, and ended up being double that. But overall, I would say, Ryan, not sure if you have a Cybertruck or if you're thinking about getting one. Oh, he's puts on here. He's on the waiting list. So, I mean, I would say it's an amazing truck. I actually, tomorrow is actually my 1 year anniversary with the truck.
Ooh!
I already filmed my 1 year review. I just need to finish editing it, and I'll have that up soon. But spoiler alert: I talk about in that review how much I absolutely love this truck.
Mm-hmm.
I also talk about some things that I don't love about this truck, but I, you know, it's the best driving truck I've ever driven.
Hands down.
And so that's what I'll say. But there's some things that we don't like. So that's part of that discussion.
I personally find that I love my Rivian, but, and that's a, this is where we tangent. It's a tangent into just me as a person versus everybody else. Everybody else gets into my Rivian. They're like, this is a really nice car. They want to look in it. They want to do everything. And it's like, yeah, I, you know, I'm happy that everybody else is that enthusiastic about it. But there, it's like I remember driving my Cybertruck and thinking, looking at that enormous dashboard, enormous. Like you could put like 10 trays of food out there. Like, I mean, that thing is huge on the dashboard and the inside. And then it's such a short – but, you know, like just driving it around, it was always so fun. It always just had that – I mean, that steer by wire. And so this is why – I think that, and this is a similar reason why I was like, I had the chance to dabble with the Cybertruck now, but there's still a part of me that it's like, I think back to the iPhone, where everybody was super stoked for the first iPhone. I was like, I'm not spending that much money for it. And it's missing the basic things that I would want, which is a 3G, a GPS, which the original iPhone had neither of. It was originally still like the old dial-up data service and like literally the worst of 2G, and it didn't even have a GPS module. Like my Verizon flip phone turd had GPS. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that I'm eager to see what comes from this build of the Cybertruck, where it evolves to. In that way, I'm still in love with what the Cybertruck represents, because I still remember loving how it drove. Because when you drive that steer-by-wire for the first time, you feel the maneuverability of it. You know, I remember a number – you know, they always talk about the delay of like spin. Who cares? When I was backing into parking spaces, you could feel the rear wheels with the slight turn to them. You could feel the utility of that. And it's something that I genuinely miss. So I'm curious to see what is born of this. But we'll see.
I agree. Steer-by-wire was missed 100% like right away. Like that was the biggest game-changing thing. But I think overall, like with the Cybertruck, there were so many things that surprised me in a good way, that they were like, wow. Because like, I think there was obviously a lot of the hate that came in with it, like as soon as it was announced, and as soon as there was like everyone saw it, they're like, oh my god, it's so ugly, blah blah blah. But then like brushing all through that, and you're like, okay, now you have hands-on one, you're starting to drive it, and you're realizing, wow, they actually thought about a lot of things that they didn't have to, but they did, and they put a lot of things in there that, you know, just really kind of sells on what they were trying to do. However, to a point, because I don't think it was worth the price that they initially came out with. But like when we get into that normal price range, 100%, it is hands down the best truck on the road for what I would need out of it. You know, and I will say that because I don't do a lot of towing. Like I don't do a lot of the things that it can't do very well. But like the things that it does. Is way better than I expected out of a truck, and with like off-road capability out of the box that blows your mind. Like that was the biggest thing that made me want to like go adventure more, which I know that's kind of the Rivian's like thing, like, oh, go adventure. That's their tagline. But like the capability out of the Cybertruck, and I'm like, man, when you realize that, I'm sure Eric, you had the same thing where like you're doing a donut and you're like, oh, this can do something. Or like you, you're on dirt and you like you just floor it for the first time. You're like, ooh, and you feel like you have total control over it,
or
and
you jump
fun things, or you jump it. That's when it's like, what else can I do? It kind of gets your gears going there. So that's where I'm excited to get back into it.
Yeah, that was my experience. And that's when I told that story about meeting Ian, the Rivian owner. I never really, never in my life of owning trucks, it's kind of like what Will was saying, right? He doesn't have that itch to go off-roading. That was me. I never had any desire to go off-roading in any of my trucks. My trucks were always like work trucks, right? I was using them to do that type of stuff. And it was never for fun of getting on the trails. It wasn't until I got a Cybertruck. Once I took delivery of the Cybertruck, I was like, wait, this would actually be really cool because of the air suspension, being able to get that clearance with the extract mode and, you know, eventually doing the off-road update that they did and introducing all these different settings and, you know, all these different things that you can do with it and how you can adjust it. That's when it's like, okay, I have to go do some of this stuff. And then once I did it, I was like, okay, now I see why people do this on the weekends. Now it makes sense.
It's like you bought a boat for the first time without the boat problems.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I got Cybertruck problems.
You got other problems.
You got a boat, but useful.
It reminded me of a thing because I remember, it was like early on when we first got it, or first like put the money down. We're like, all right, we're committing to this and we're starting to learn all the little things. And then my wife, who's like 5'2", has a problem getting into trucks because obviously if there's no steps there, there's a height issue there. And I'm like, don't worry, baby, this thing can lower all the way down. And it was like, it's super easy. And then it turned into that she loved the Cybertruck way more than she ever liked my F-150. Okay. A, she could drive it easier, and B, she could get into it much easier. There's so many things that made it not just appealing to like guys, but also appealing to moms.
Oh yeah,
you know, for a lot of reasons.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about it, I think, on the last podcast or one of the podcasts about when I went on that road trip up north and my wife ended up helping me drive, and she, which she usually doesn't do. You know, don't want to hear me say that. But she drove the Cybertruck and I took a nap. And when I woke up, she was like, this truck just drives so nice. You know, it's like,
it's true. It's true. I mean, I think that, you know, I've been spending a little bit of time simmering on, you know, the current state of the world and trying to divorce certain things from certain things, you know, just to try to, I don't know. I feel like I've been clumping things together a little bit too much in my life. So I'm trying to spend more time in the nuance. And I still genuinely believe that, you know, I think that, you know, like everything going on culturally and politically with Elon, however you feel, whatever, I think that this is kind of the DeLorean moment, you know, when John DeLorean got arrested and, you know, what it did to the company and what everything. What? I'm just saying it's just culturally as far as how everybody feels about it now. I mean, you know, I think that Tesla's a little bit bigger, actually a lot bigger, but I don't know. I think that it was super dumb how everybody has come down on this truck shitting on it without ever riding in it. And I think it's one of those. And you remember the Pontiac Aztec?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like that was the vibe I originally got from the Cybertruck. You're like, if you can, you know, about how it looks on the outside, but then you get on the inside, and everybody who ever owned one was like, it's the greatest car I've ever driven. It's the greatest ride. It's got so much space. It's so useful. It's so amazing. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that it's like, if you were to talk to real Cybertruck owners without coming in and be like, DeLorean, boop, boop, you know, just go in and be like, what do you like about the truck? Chances are you have every Cybertruck owner being like, I love the way it rides. I love the way, how smooth it is. I love the steer by wire. I mean, just driving it is kind of an experience that doesn't exist in any other vehicle because nothing else kind of drives the way that it does. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm just so disappointed about how so much ingenuity and technological creativity is being breathed into the life of electric vehicles. And the auto industry has been boring as hell for years. And you know, before electric vehicles really started pushing boundary. I mean, you know, I was like, hey, get this one. And I was like slightly crappy-ish, you know, MPG or whatever. Like, there was no real Bluetooth this time. It has Bluetooth. Good work, guys. You know, And I think that EVs are really pushing it. It's like, yo, our car can crab walk into a parking space. Yo, our car has like 8 screens. You know, they're all spread throughout. It's getting awesome. We're starting to see all that technology implemented. And I think that the Cybertruck was and still is a kind of a canvas, hoping that they would start to realize what was available to the driver experience and how good you can make that driving experience for the driver for the time being, you know, until they got autopilot and they just don't want to have to, you know, bother driving it anymore. But it's just such an experience. I think that a lot of people are crapping on it because they've never set foot in it. Cause it's ostensibly to a lot of people, it's ugly. And I think that, you know, the echo chamber has given them the ability to let their voices rise up as one and everybody let's shit on it together. You know, it's like, yay, we'll have a punching bag for another 6 months. But I genuinely am bummed out about how people are not realizing how awesome the car actually is on the inside and what it feels like to drive it. I think that if the price point was a lot better, there'd be a lot less like, you know, shitting on it directly. I think that if you could buy 100%. A new back at the announcement rate, like, what was it? The announcement price was like $40,000 for the single motor, $50,000 for the dual, and I think $70,000 for the tri or whatever their plan was. And I was like, the dual motor makes the most sense. I'm going to do that because that was what my reservation was for. And I'm like, can you imagine if this truck right now had a single motor version that still felt like the dual motor enough? So, I mean, they'll never do a single motor. So let's just say if they had a $50,000 dual motor, you know, there'd be no waiting list.
Yeah,
everybody would have a chance to test drive it and go crazy for it. I think at that price point, everybody would be like, I mean, is it really so bad? I mean, you know, with the looks and whatever, I'll get it wrapped and, you know, I don't know. But
no, you're 100% right. I think if it was $50,000-$60,000, it's game over. Game over for the whole trucking industry.
All of the parking lots would be empty. All of the ones like with Cybertruck sitting there, they'd be gone. They've been, you know. But
I think we'll get there.
I don't want to interrupt you guys, but Chase, is that doll behind Will moving?
I hope so.
Which one?
I'm just messing with you.
No, you bring up
a great point about actually, DeLorean. I had no idea, but that DeLorean like got arrested like that. That's insane. Yeah, if he was.
Yeah, yeah. It was
conspiracy
a new company
to attain 55 pounds.
Yeah, trafficking
of cocaine.
Yep.
But we brought up a really good point about that, diving into that, is that so the DeLorean at the time sold for $25,000, which at the time, average cars were about $10,000.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
Everyone was insane. And even like a souped up Corvette at the time was $18,000. So it was even more expensive than a Corvette. And that's kind of, it's kind of similar to what we saw now, where it was like, even what my experience was, these Cybertrucks were kind of getting lumped into supercars, and now it's like you have Cybertrucks and then, you know, DeLorean, not DeLorean, but like McLarens, Ferraris, all these Lamborghinis, and it's like, yeah, and a Cybertruck. It just doesn't make any
the
sense.
The circles that Chase is hanging out in.
It's weird.
Well, I've always defended Tesla and the idea of, I don't see Tesla as luxury vehicles. I mean, you know, they definitely tart it up to the point because they know that the price point of the vehicle is in the luxury market. Even back in like 2012, 2013 with the Model S, it was visibly a luxury vehicle. You know, it had the pleather and the nice seat, you know, all the stuff. And that's because that's who they were playing for. But I'm like, but you don't have another electric vehicle that looks like this. That's what you're buying. There's a utility of owning a vehicle that you can charge at home now that isn't available out there at this range. That's a premium. There's an autopilot suite that was unparalleled at the time in 2012, 2013 when the Model S came out that kind of justified it. So I think that it's probably my high school teacher yelled at me one time because I was a computer nerd in high school and I was telling him how to fix his computer. And he was like, I don't care. Like, I don't, you know, like, you know, you're like these car guys who are like, if you do this, it'll make the car run slightly faster. He's like, I don't care. I don't care about any of it. Just shut up, Will. So I think that we're starting to see the car culture and the computer nerd culture kind of clash, because at a certain point you're like, okay, but I mean, the price has value. Like, you know, oh, I bought an RTX 5090 graphics card for $2,000. Somebody else is going to be like, a graphics card for $2,000? Like, what are you thinking? You're like, I use it for doing VR and in my own work and all this other stuff. There's a utility to it that you're paying that I think that people get it. And then the other people who just look at cars as like, you know, glorified golf carts that get them to work and home.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's lost there.
Yeah. You hit it on the nail on the head with the home share. Because even for me right now, like, if Model 3s had home share, I would go buy a Model 3 right now.
I hear that,
hands
Elon?
Down. Hands down.
They're all dragging their feet, though. Have you noticed? They're all dragging their feet with the vehicle to grid. Tesla said by the end of 2024, they would have had it. Now they do. They have the Cybertruck. Rivian, nothing. You don't hear anything about it yet. They had an email a couple of weeks ago saying that they're like, remember, we're bringing it at some point. And it'll be like, even the Gen 1 R1Ss will have 11.2 kilowatt discharge through their charger. But then they didn't say anything else. Like, you know, if you need to have the specialty charger, do you have to have an electrician do an install, or does it integrate to whatever, you know?
So yeah, there's more questions too.
But I think that it's at that tipping point where everybody's looking, it's like, guys, we've been selling these electric vehicles for a while. There are Model S's with, like, you know, P85Ds with, you know, 120,000 miles that you could probably buy for, like, I don't know, probably fairly reasonably priced, like 30,000-40,000. But once they make it so that if they had those hardwares, or whichever ones do have the hardware to do the inverter, like, those are so many home batteries where people will be like, yeah, I'll just buy a Model 3 and park it in the garage, and that's my home backup, and if I got to drive it occasionally, you know?
100%. I mean, I think
when I'm looking at a Lightning, it has the backup.
Yeah, you were saying that before. Yeah, before. It's like, and if you just lease it with that crazy deal we saw it the last time, I'm like, it's cheaper than a Powerwall.
Not even leasing. Like, I was thinking about, okay, if we wanted to swap the Rivian, it's also still possible. We could get a 2022 Ford Lightning Lariat that has everything that, you know, the top of the line one, and still not have any money in a pocket and get a cheaper vehicle. So I'm like, that could actually happen. You know, one that has 35,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Which they're selling now for like 40,000. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like Will said, a Powerwall is what, $11,000, I think. And I think in the news a few months ago, Hertz was selling like Model 3s for like $16,000, $15,000. If there was that ability to use a Model 3, I mean, that right there, I mean, that's a steal, right? You can drive the thing, plus it's your home battery backup potential, you know, so
100%.
Yeah, you never know. Now, Will also mentioned that he doesn't think there's ever going to be a rear wheel drive or single motor Cybertruck. And not saying there will be, but there, this came out, Tesla app updates, talking about some things. But in this tweet, they mentioned that the automatic tonneau cover and AC outlets will not be standard across all trims of Cybertrucks, and they state guessing rear wheel drive. I know that's something that we've talked about. Like, what would they cut from all wheel drive Cyber Beast? Because they're essentially the same, other than the extra motor. What would they cut for the rear wheel drive single motor, Cybertruck? And it seems like if they were going to do that, these would be two of the items at least.
So I'm increasingly conspiratorial for reasons that should be obvious. But I think that no, wait, hang on, pull that screenshot back up. Let me see it again.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. So this is how I feel about this. You know, Tesla's got enough people who are smart, actually smart, that aren't just Elon, that know that, like, you know, this is the language of how you do testing nowadays. This is a test survey. I think that tweeting that the app had a car that is somewhere in the pipeline, but they could kill it at any time. They could avert it and lose any money. But if they start adding it to the app and they make sure that it makes it to these kind of posts and Twitter and wherever, and then you can see the interest and you can see the sentiment. I've always thought that, you know, cryptocurrency has been pushed around by sentiment more than fundamentals. And I think they're realizing that advertising does the exact same thing. So if you if you can track the sentiment across social media of people being like, what? I lose the automatic tonneau cover? That I'm not buying this thing. Or what? The outlets are literally the only useful thing on it for me. I wouldn't buy it at another price point then if it didn't have, you know. And if they can assemble that data into a model to be like, you know what? For us to be cost effective, we would have to cut so much out of this vehicle that nobody is going to want to buy it anyway. And we're probably only going to sell like half of them, and it'll eat into our dual motor Cybertruck conversions. You know, it's just an easy way for them to kind of fly it around to be like, all right, do people want a real wheel drive? Let's try and cut some features out so we can differentiate, because it's like, otherwise, you know, the Cybertruck and the Cyber Beast, they're pretty much the same car. It's just different motors. there is, you know, so then they're going to have to start going after the in the cab user experience. The cost of having the AC outlets in there is not, you know, the $5,000 or $10,000 price difference that they would try to create for it.
It's an inconvenience.
I think that they're just testing the waters with something like this.
Yeah, it's more of an inconvenience charge, which I mean,
yeah, exactly. But inconvenience charge. I love that that term.
But the tonneau, I could totally see getting rid of the tonneau. You could easily get rid of, you know, a lot of the. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. The AC is kind of minor, but I don't know what else.
I don't think it's so minor. I think that, you know, here we are just a moment ago. We're talking about Model 3s and the utility of the battery. We're at that part where the vehicles now need to be like, okay, we're not just a car that runs on a different drivetrain. We need to make use of what is available to it while it's in motion. And one of those things is a 55 or 75 kilowatt or 100 or 125 kilowatt hour battery. That, you know, and the average draw of a family of four on the road driving somewhere might be, hey, we threw a PlayStation 5 in, so it's got like 400 watts an hour just drawing from that.
Yeah.
It's barely going to damage the battery that you're driving it on. You're barely going to sap the thing more than like 2% in 4 hours. But yeah,
that's a slippery slope for them, because I feel like it's stuff that all the other natural like EV makers do, like Ford, GMC, all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yes.
Kind of nickel and dime you of like, oh, did you get the bigger AC vents or you get the smaller AC vents? You're like,
it's regressive, you know? Yeah. It's like people are already pissed off when they find out, oh, I bought a model. Like, what was it in those years when the Model 3 like had the 75 kilowatt hour battery, but it was software locked to the 55? And they're like, you can upgrade and we'll just like release the rest of it. You'd be like, so you sold me a car that was partially crippled. Where's the rule on that? But
yeah. I give Tesla a lot of credit that they didn't do a lot of that shit, but that's why I say it's a slippery slope. If they start going down that route, I start worrying. If anything, I think they've done it correctly of like, just play with the market value, especially with FSD. They've played with the market value quite a bit, you know, doing, you know, free subscriptions and free supercharging. Those things are perfectly fine to like play with and kind of give incentives. But yeah, once you start like doing, you know, basic stuff, basic features of the truck as like add-ons, that's where it starts to lose me. Because looking at the F-150, like the Lightning, it's ridiculous. The difference between like the base model Lightning and then the Platinum, it's highway robbery. But then again, they do that on all their vehicles. So
100%.
It's just their normal thing.
I think it just needs to come down to battery size, right? I mean, that's the biggest cost for the truck, I'm sure. And so you just, you know, what the Cybertruck right now has 123 kilowatt. I think you just take it down to 100.
That's what Rivian does. They do, you know, a base battery. They have a large battery and they have a bigger battery. Like that's perfectly
fine.
Other
than that, everything's pretty much the same.
Yep. I mean, between dual motor and quad or dual tri and quad. So they do the motors. So it's like, which that to, you know, the daily consumer is not a big difference on experience because they're having the exact same experience, whether it's dual motor, tri motor, quad motor, small battery, big battery. It doesn't matter. And that's the way it should be, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing if it ever gets released, a single motor, and if so, what are they going to take out? You know, that was the thing that we speculated and talked about a lot leading up to, you know, what's going to happen once they take away Foundation Series. You know, what exactly are they going to be cutting from that to, you know, reduce that price to justify the $20,000 upcharge? And, you know, we saw the white interior is supposedly a premium as opposed to the gray. And then they changed out tires and wheels and things like that. So, but other than that, I mean, everything else is pretty much the same. So
we've crossed into a new year of speculation. Now, let's say what is going to come first? Is it going to be the single motor or the extended battery?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And which one will Kim Kardashian get?
That's going to be a tough one. Yeah, I don't know because they keep pushing that range extender.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in talking with the, you know, Jerry and Brian in regards to Cyber Odyssey, you know, everyone would love to have that range extender, but at $16,000, that's a tough buy. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that range extender ever hits the market. So then I'm going to go ahead and say the single motor.
It could very well be. And I'll even just bring up Rivian for example, because I know they have the differences between the motors. not the motors, sorry, the batteries, there is not that big of a, like, there's not a $16,000 difference between the smallest battery and the biggest battery. I almost want to guarantee. I got to pull it up in 2 seconds. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, with Rivian, I think it's a lot of it has to do with their motors, right? Also the batteries. You can get up to 400 and something mile range on a Rivian, which is something that's amazing.
Yeah, which is not quite out yet. So the R1S Quad, like max battery, it just says it's coming soon. But so the biggest one they have is R1S Tri currently, 371 range, max battery. For 105, well, I guess maybe it is a big difference. So 105 for the max battery tri-motor, and then 75 for the dual motor standard battery. Middle of that is 82 for the large battery. But there is a difference between max battery and large battery. So it's not as big of a jump. A lot of that cost, obviously, is with the motor as well, because you're getting between dual motor and tri-motor. Yeah, that's very interesting. But yeah, so here's a good example. So the difference between the standard battery, dual motor, standard battery, dual motor, large battery, dual motor is a difference of 11,000. Not even 11. So that's 7,000, not 16.
It'll be interesting. 2025, that's something we can look forward to, see what happens. But other than that, I think that was everything I had for today. You know, once again, big thank you to Jerry and Brian for joining us today, talking about Cyber Odyssey Glamis. If anybody is listening or came late, if you guys are interested in hearing more about that, obviously I'm going to post this podcast tomorrow on YouTube and all of the other platforms that you can listen back. But for anybody that's listening right now, follow OG_cyber_ on Instagram. That's Brian's IG, and you can DM him and you can look at his posts, and he's got a lot of information about the current Cyber Odyssey that's happening in February, and then obviously follow him for future updates on other Cyber Odysseys. So once again, thank you to them. Thank you to everybody that joined us in chat. Obviously our regulars, Hugo and Jay and Bill, we had Ryan in, and Gabriel and Chris was in, and a bunch of others. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you guys all on the next episode next week.
Bird.